This is According to God's Word, a radio ministry of Reaching Catholics for Christ with T.A. McMahon and produced by the Berean Call. I'm Gary Carmichael. Thanks for tuning in. Comparing Catholic teachings with the Bible. That's our focus in this week's cover article. Along with his co-host, Mike Gendron, here's T.A. McMahon.
Welcome to According to God's Word, a program in which we encourage looking to the Bible alone for all of what God says about himself, about us, what he expects of us, and most importantly, what he has done for us that we might spend eternity with him. My out-of-studio partner for today's program is Mike Gendron, the author of Preparing Catholics for Eternity and head of the ministry Proclaiming the Gospel. He's also one of the co-founders of Reaching Catholics for Christ. Welcome, Mike.
It's good to be with you again, Tom.
Now, for many of our listeners who have been tracking with us, we've been going through Paul's letter to the Galatians, and it's an important epistle, especially with regard to what this program's about. As many of our listeners know, Mike and I are former Roman Catholics, and our heart here, our concern here is that for many years we sort of went along with what the church taught, but Mike, that changed, didn't it? We now have a different authority in our lives.
Yes, we do. The Bible has become our sole authority. It's always been the sole authority, but Tom, you and I just found out about it after we started reading it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's good to know that there is one absolute authority, that we don't have to depend on the teachings and traditions of men, which are subjective. We can go to the objective truth of God's Word.
Yeah. Again, the title of the program is According to God's Word. And so it's not according to T.A. McMahon's word, it's not according to Mike Gendron's word or to any of our other associates who we have on the program from time to time. We want our listeners to check out what we say, what issues we may address, and let God's word set them straight. Right, Mike?
Well, that's so correct. In fact, as we get into our lesson today, we're going to see that the Word of God became the authority to determine who was right between Peter and Paul.
Which is a very interesting issue for Roman Catholics who believe that Peter was the first pope. And as we know from major dogmas of the church, that his teachings were infallible. So, Mike, let's get right into we're in chapter 2 of Galatians, and we're actually on verse 14, but I want to back it up to verse 11, which we talked about last week, just to give our listeners more of the context here. Paul writes, "But when Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him to the face, because he was to be blamed. For before that certain came from James, he did eat with the Gentiles. But when they were come, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing them which were of the circumcision." Now, to get a little bit more of the context here, in Acts 15, verse 24, it says, "Since we have heard that some who went out from us have troubled you with words, unsettling your souls, saying, you must be circumcised and keep the law, to whom we gave no such commandment." In other words, those who were in Jerusalem said, no, these guys who came to Antioch, they weren't from us. We didn't send them with any instructions. But because the instructions would have been contrary to God's word, right, Mike?
That's correct.
So what about these? What about this issue of circumcision and Peter withdrawing himself?
What's happening here is when Peter is with the Gentiles, he was living as a Gentile and eating the unrestricted meat. But then when he saw the Judaizers coming and the people of the Jewish faith, he would withdraw from the Gentiles and become hypocritical. And so in the end, he was forcing the Gentiles to live like Jews, but he as a Jew could live as a Gentile. And so we see hypocrisy here in Peter, and he was also leading others astray as well.
Right. Verse 13, "And the other Jews dissembled likewise with him, insomuch that Barnabas also was carried away with their dissimulation." Verse 14, "But when I saw they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel, I said unto Peter before them all, if thou, being a Jew, livest after the manner of Gentiles, and not as do the Jews, why compellest thou the Gentiles to live as do the Jews? Mike, you're right. This is Paul recognizing the hypocrisy of Peter, Barnabas, and others. They were really drawing back under the very law from which Christ set them free.
That's so true, and this is a major issue. It needed to be confronted publicly because it had an effect on the multitudes of people. And what's amazing here, and I think there's a good application for us all, is that Peter knew the gospel. He just wasn't acting in line with the truth of it. He wasn't walking according to the gospel. He knew that he was saved by grace, but then by his actions, he was leading people to believe that you're saved by the law. And so I think the application here, Tom, is that we all have blind spots.
Mm-hmm.
And as brothers in Christ, when we see someone that's not acting according to the truth of the gospel, we need to lovingly confront them publicly if their actions are in public, and privately if we see them in private. But I think it's important to see here that Peter did not submit to another man, but he submitted to the truth of God's word.
Mm-hmm. You see, it's not an issue with regard to Peter of his salvation, but it has to do with the fruits of his life. Ephesians tells us that we've been saved unto good works. God wants to use us in whatever situation we're in, and he wants to be glorified, obviously, but he wants to see the truth of the gospel really presented in a way that it's going to affect people. And sometimes we become a reproach to him, just as you said, Mike.
And what happens when you have someone like Peter who knows the truth but begins departing from it? He needs to be confronted so that the truth will remain in the next generation. And what we see here is that people not only becoming hypocrites, Tom, but there's also confusion as to what the true gospel is. It's either we're saved by grace or we're saved by the law, and the two cannot mix. And yet this is what Peter was trying to do, mix law with grace.
Yeah, so it's certainly Peter's witness, and because of his stature, that's problematic. But let's say this wasn't Peter. Let's say somebody else among them, somebody that we don't know about and the Bible doesn't present to us. In other words, just an everyday person like you or me. This is going to, as we withdraw from the freedom that we have in Christ, we're going to become in bondage. Right, Mike? Our lives, the joy of serving the Lord, all of that's going to go by the boards because we have not followed what Christ has given us, what he's freely given us, and we're not living in it.
Well, that's true, Tom. And sadly, the Roman Catholic Church today follows the error of Peter instead of Peter corrected. In fact, it's the Roman Catholic Church today that mixes the law with grace. Catholics do not believe they're saved by pure grace. They must merit God's grace, and they do that by receiving sacraments, which are the sacraments of the new law. And so they also are told that if they disobey the law, that they can fall from grace and then perish into everlasting torment. And so what we see is the successors of Peter following the error of Peter rather than the corrected
mm-hmm.
Peter.
And, Mike, I know there's some among evangelicals out there. There's a lot of ignorance with regard to what Roman Catholics believe, what they practice, how they go about their belief system. And it isn't just a matter of the Ten Commandments. Mike, there were a lot more laws in your life as a growing up Roman Catholic than just the moral issues of the with regard to something like the Ten Commandments. You had plenty more commandments, right?
Oh, yeah, we not only had the Ten, but then we had church laws we had to follow as well, and, of course, the Ten Mass on holy days of obligation. There was many more laws that a Catholic needed to follow, and by disobeying them, then they would lose their salvation.
Right. The Code of Canon Law, for example, 1,750 rules and regulations. Now, not everyone affects everybody in the church. Some have to do with administration and so on, but a lot of them, as you said, holy days of obligation. Well, I'll give you an example. Today, a lot of Catholics believe that it's not necessary to abstain from meat on Friday. And that's true. However, there are exceptions to that which many Catholics don't know about. For example, take Lent. Fridays during Lent, you have to abstain from meat. Ash Wednesday, you have to fast and abstain from meat. Now, these are laws that bring with them mortal sin if you disobey them. And what happens if you commit a mortal sin as a Roman Catholic?
You perish. If you die in that state, you perish to the eternal lake of fire.
That's right.
But, Tom, I think the key here is that you know, as a Catholic, when you grew up, that we were trying to become righteous before God by obeying all the laws.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the stake that's being driven in the ground here in Galatians 2 is that you cannot be justified by both the gospel and the law together. Anytime you establish the law, you destroy the gospel. And so that's why this is such an important issue. How are we justified? It's by faith in Jesus Christ. It's by believing the gospel of grace. And when you do that, then you're no longer under the law as far as gaining eternal life. In fact, later on in this book, Paul says anyone that tries to gain eternal life by obeying the law is under a curse.
Mm-hmm. What of those out there listening who would say, well, that means you can do whatever you want? The term is antinomianism. In other words, there's no law that now affects your life.
Well, Tom, the same grace that brings us salvation, Paul wrote to Titus in chapter 2, verses 11 to 14, he said, the grace that brought you salvation is the same grace that teaches you to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions and to live a self-controlled, upright life. So once we have been saved by grace, the grace becomes a tutor for us. We now have the Holy Spirit empowering us and dwelling us, and we're sealed to the day of redemption, and so we have a new nature in us.
Mm-hmm.
And so we want to please God in all that we say and do, and we're no longer dominated by the flesh, the
right.
sinful nature of the flesh.
And as you say, it's not a matter now of salvation. There's nothing we can do for our salvation. Christ.
Well, that's the key. What is the motivation for obeying?
Mm-hmm.
It's to be thankful to the Lord for what he's done for us. But see, in the Catholic faith, and also in many Protestant faiths, you must obey the law to gain eternal life. That's the wrong motivation. You do it because eternal life has already been granted to you, and you do it out of love and appreciation.
Yeah. Mike, not only is it a wrong motivation, it's impossible.
Sure.
The wages of sin is death. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. In other words, all we have, if we don't have Christ's death as our substitute, all we have is what we have to do, and that is pay the penalty for our sins. And what's the penalty? It's eternal separation from God. Now, we can't pay that penalty. In other words, we're relegated to the lake of fire unless we turn to Christ, who paid the penalty in full.
And Tom, you're just touching on an important consideration. Even if we only sinned one time and then obeyed the law perfectly, that one sin still condemns us to hell.
Of course.
Obeying the law perfectly the rest of our lives never washes away the first sin. All the perfect deeds we do can never take away the sin, only the precious blood of our Savior.
Mm-hmm. But, Mike, we know we have, for salvation, we have Christ's finished work on the cross, which we accept by faith, and by faith only. There's nothing we can add to it because he's done it all. So all we can do is cling to him in trust and in faith. There's nothing else. On the other hand, we do sin. How does that affect our lives?
Well, all of our sins, past and future, were imputed to Christ. That means he became the sin bearer for all of our sins, and he took the punishment that we deserve for all of them upon himself. And so Christ doesn't die again each time we commit a sin. All of our sins were paid by one sacrifice. In fact, by one offering, he has now made perfect forever
mm-hmm.
those who are being sanctified. That is, those who have put their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ.
Right. And that's our heart in this program. This is according to God's Word. This is not according to Mike Gendron or to T.A. McMahon. This is what God's Word says. So those out there, you know, I would appeal to you. If this is the first time you've heard something like this, I'd encourage you to read God's Word. Begin with the Gospel of John and just keep rolling through it. That God has done it all. Things that we cannot do, especially with regard to our salvation. He has paid the full penalty for our sins, and we'd encourage you to turn to him. Go to his Word. The Word of God says, If you abide in my word, you're my disciples indeed, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free.
You're listening to According to God's Word, a radio ministry of Reaching Catholics for Christ. Now, Tom and Mike address questions from listeners in this week's Q&A.
Mike, this listener writes, I am a former Roman Catholic. However, it's been bothering me that the diocese I was baptized in as an infant still has my records, and I've been told still considers me to be a member of the church. Well, this is an interesting issue, Mike. I was just at a conference in which Roman Catholic priests told the audience that the church has no problems with anyone leaving the church. That, yeah, they're saddened and so on, but they recognize them as still separated brethren, that is, Protestants. This young man that he was talking about left his parish to join a Pentecostal church, and the priest didn't seem to have any problem with it. But the Catholic Church does have a big problem with it, doesn't it, Mike?
Yeah, they do. In fact, I actually called my old Catholic parish this morning and spoke to the Monsignor and asked him if I was still on the church rolls. And he said, well, as a separated brethren, you remain on the church rolls. Have you joined another church? And I said, well, I've become a Christian and I'm part of the body of Christ now. But as far as membership, our church doesn't have such a thing. We just go and worship there every Sunday, and there's no roll taken. He said, well, that's okay then. You're still considered part of the Catholic Church. So we've also had subscribers write to us, Tom, and say that they've tried to have their name removed from the Catholic records. But It appears that the Catholic Church wants to retain all the names so that they can continue to boast about their 1 billion-plus followers.
Well, Mike, it's actually a little tougher than that. Let me read to you from the Code of Canon Law. This is a commentary on the Code of Canon Law, which covers this subject. It says, ultimately, the bond with the church is rooted in something that can never be lost, baptism. So, Mike, your baptism, my baptism in the Roman Catholic Church, that's their seal upon us. Well, let me read a few more of these statements, and then we can discuss it. It says, the church does not expel persons from its midst. Essentially, the heretic, apostate, or schismatic. Now, Mike, you might be in one of those categories.
Probably.
Yeah, I think I am as well. But it says, essentially, the heretic, apostate, or schismatic withdraws those bonds by a personal act. The church recognizes in declaring the bond severed, but they are never totally cut. Okay? And then it goes on to say, is it then possible for a Catholic to leave the church? Traditionally, the answer has been no. And then they qualify that. It says, instead, it retains the tradition in law that those who have come into full communion with the Catholic Church are never able to withdraw from the church's law, even if they do cease to be in full communion. They are considered otherwise bound by Catholic Church law, even if the individuals have clearly severed all bonds of full communion. Now, two reasons for this. They would say, on a positive side, Mike, there's an opportunity for you to repent. You can come back to the church, at any time. All right, so the door is still open for you to come back. Mike, the laws of the church then, we're under the jurisdiction, according to the church, of those laws. So when we're condemned to hell, it's with the full jurisdiction of the church behind it. So, again, we don't believe this, but that's why you can't get your records removed because of your baptism.
Well, Tom, and isn't it good to know that there is a higher authority than the Roman Catholic Church? Because otherwise we would be in constant fear, wouldn't we?
Right.
But that's what we were told, and that's what all Catholics are told, that if you ever depart from the Roman Catholic Church, that you are condemned to hell because you're still under the church's law. But, of course, when we read John chapter 8, verses 31 to 32, we see that a characteristic of a disciple of Christ is to abide in his word. And when we abide in his word, the truth sets us free from any law. We're no longer under bondage to the Roman Catholic Church. We've been set free because we now know the truth.
Right. And, Mike, for those who, let's say this is an issue for them to try and have their records withdraw. Now, you know, I can understand somebody wanting to make a statement and wanting to bring this to the church's attention, but it's really not worth the effort, I don't think. I know people who are former Mormons, for example. I think they have a little bit more success that way in having their records removed, but then they have to worry about whether they're going to be baptized or the dead and a little later. But that's another issue. My concern here is that former Catholics not worry about this. Some Christians, I think, being ignorant of what God's Word teaches, even feel that they may be under curses or they may be under this or under that. No way, right, Mike?
Well, Tom, I would hope that former Catholics would use this as a benefit, because I do oftentimes. I go out to Roman Catholic churches, and we pass the gospel of Jesus Christ out to Catholics who are going in to worship at the Mass. And so this gives them an opportunity to come to know the truth. And when Catholic priests come out, and every time we've done this, we've always been confronted by a priest, and he asks us to leave, we tell them that we have every right to be there because we have been baptized into the Catholic Church, and you've never taken us off your rolls. And so in your eyes, we're still Catholics, and we have a right to be here. And so it's an argument that frustrates these priests. They don't know what to do when I respond that way. But it is a benefit. We can go and we can take advantage and reach back into all those Roman Catholics who are still under bondage and give them the truth of God's Word. Tom, in one particular instance, we were passing out the gospel, and again, it's the gospel. It's purely God's Word. That's all we were handing out. There was a Roman Catholic nun that came up and looked at it and crumbled it up right in front of us. And I said, "It's only God's Word." She said, "We don't need that here at our church." And I thought to myself, if she could only hear what she was saying, that they don't need God's Word. Another Roman Catholic priest came up and confronted me, and he said, "Well, Mike, how would you like it if we came and did this to your church?" I said, "You mean pass out the gospel?" He said, "Yes." I said, "Well, we need the gospel at our church, too. I would hope that you would come and pass out the gospel of Jesus Christ." And so it's opportunities like this that really frustrate Roman Catholic priests. You know, they don't want the truth to go into their churches because, as you know, Tom, the truth will set them free. But it's a great benefit to be able to go up to Roman Catholic churches and pass out the gospel.
Mm-hmm. But, Mike, you make a really good point. Some people think, well, you're pushing Presbyterianism or Baptist theology or something like that on Roman Catholics. No, we'd be just as thrilled. Mike, you and I are involved in an organization called Reaching Catholics for Christ. But would you have any problem joining an organization that said Reaching Baptists for Christ?
Not at all.
Not at all.
We're reaching them with the gospel
right.
of Jesus Christ.
Because denominations, institutions do not save. We would ask anybody, if you're a Baptist out there, if you're a Methodist, whoever you are, whatever church you're in, is your church teaching the gospel, the biblical gospel of salvation? If they're not, I don't care what label they've got on them. They're Antichrist, right?
That
may sound a little tough, but that's the truth. If you're just going through some religious motions or some institution laws.
Tom, what you're saying is true. We have to keep in mind that any religious institution can become corrupt, whether it be a religion or a denomination or a church. And we see this in Judaism. We see the Lord Jesus Christ rebuking the religious leaders in Matthew 23. So we praise God we still have the objective truth of His Word that we can proclaim.
Amen.
If you have questions for Tom and his guests to address in a future broadcast, stay with us. In a moment, we'll let you know where to send them. This is According to God's Word, a radio ministry of Reaching Catholics for Christ. We offer many teaching materials to help you in your study of God's Word. For more information about Reaching Catholics for Christ, contact us at P.O. Box 7019, Bend, Oregon 97708. Or visit our website at www.reachingcatholics.org. If you would like a copy of this broadcast, ask for program number A0512. And please mention the call letters of this station. I'm Gary Carmichael. Thank you for joining us. And we hope you can tune in again next week for According to God's Word.